Are we live? Did we do it? Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening.
Not yet good night.
But not yet good night. That peeping in there was Megan. I am River Wild, and you are listening to River Reads. Megan's going to be helping me with tech and a little bit of bitter banter, as well as we're going to be doing some pre-recorded stories. Let's be honest, reading for an hour, more than I want to do. And this way we can introduce a little bit of GarageBand music to add to it. So we're changing the pace a little bit. We just had a little bit of music happening. Actually, it wasn't music, but it was music, real music. And now we're going to be doing River Reads with myself. I'm just going to take a moment once we have everything lined up. And
tell them what the special is for today.
Yeah, I mean, today is a special day. I mean, this year is a special year because it is CICK, Smithers Community Radio's 15 years old today. Not quite old enough to get a driver's license, but we've been driving that radio hard for the last 15 years. So, again, you are listening to CICK 93.9 FM. I am your host, River Wild, sitting in here with Megan Brady.
Hello.
Hello. And this is my third year. This is also Smithers Brewing Company's 7 years. Mm-hmm. We had an amazing event last Wednesday, if you weren't able to come out. That was just the Wednesday that just happened. I'm a bit of a blur. Everything is a bit of a glazed over happening for me right now. But it was an amazing show. We had Major Funk coming in from Whitehorse. We had a cake. We launched our new beer. So go on down to Smithers Brewing Company and try out our new beer. It's called My Name is Earl. Why is it called that, you want to know? Well, it's called that because it is made from bergamot. There is actual bergamot, which is, some of you don't know, is what Earl Grey tea is made out of. So it is quite a unique beer, and it is only while supplies last. It is a smaller batch, so I would recommend getting down there and giving that a little tasty taste because, tasty good. And we also are, some more talking points is that today is, well, this whole week, and truthfully, we'll take your membership whenever. It is our membership drive. So this is when we push hard, get our members involved, saying our thank you and appreciation, as well as if you want, and you're like, hey, how do I want to support my local radio? Well, you do that by buying your membership and helping keep us on the air. We're, of course, a nonprofit. We rely on grants as well as the generous support of our community members.
Smithersradio.com, you can find a tab at the top says membership. Click that link and it'll take you to where you can purchase your membership.
And if you also see one of our signs around town, there'll be a little QR code if you're kind of tech savvy. And you can just do that little guy and it'll lead you right to there. But wait, what are the prices you might want to know? Because I want to be so generous and do this. That is going to be $25 for an individual membership, and that comes with goodies and swag, as well as bragging rights beyond bragging rights, as well as for a family like, hey, you know, we're a family of three or more, two, start out, three or more, whatever you want, whatever you consider, $60 for that family, as well as, hey, maybe you really want to feel extra generous and you're an organization, we have organization opportunities as well, so that's $150. To support us and get your organization membership. And with that, you get swag. You're getting your exclusive bumper sticker. You're getting your exclusive keychain this year, branded by our very own station manager, Glenn, and as well as some stickers. And again, as I said, that bragging rights. But I think we're almost up and ready. Yeah. I think I'm going to press play. Mm-hmm. Oh, my phone went to sleep, so not quite yet.
Almost.
So close. Oh, it needs my face ID, and it really is struggling. There we go. With a microphone in front of my face. They're like, who the heck are you? I don't know who you are. All right, let's do a little intro, and then we're going to be right back. So let's see if this actually works. Press and play.
You're tuned in to CICK 93.9 FM Smithers Community Radio. This is River Reads with host and narrator River Wild. A story hour where those of all ages can escape into bedtime stories and fairy tales, new and old, but mostly old and at times macabre, or silly, or even perhaps a little confusing, as written in Old English, and the host sometimes fumbles the odd word, and then there's those stories whose premise or message has aged poorly. But let's face it, You can't be picky when you're dependent upon copyright-free material available through Creative Commons. So, if you enjoy a narrated story and don't mind a weird tale, let's begin.
River Reads has been recognized as the recipient of a national award, the Broadcast Dialogues Canadian Radio Awards, winning Best Podcast in the Small Market category.
River Reads is not a kids show, but is not a kids show. Listener's discretion is advised.
This week. Okay, there we go. We had hoped that was going to give us enough time to get all our tech ready and lined up for our first story, but it wasn't. So I'm just going to give a quick push out. So I think we just have to search for River Reads. Did you know that River Reads is also a podcast on Buzzsprout? So for whatever reason, you're not able to access, because, well, there is a long catalog of River Reads on CICK's actual website. They aren't all available. But if you go to Buzzsprout, you should be able to find under River Reads, search that, and you'll be able to bring us right to any episode you want. There right now is something like over 30. I kind of numbered them, but then a couple weren't numbered, so it really kind of got kind of fancy. Yeah, this is the right one.
Okay, we're going
to
start with that.
Yeah, and so what you're going to do is you're just going to go back up to where the volume is, hit that one when you're on silent. Sorry, just talking Megan through what I'd hope was going to happen, and we're doing it. I think we're doing it. We did it! Yay! And then, yeah, that first time. So, of course, whenever I do a special, I always pick my very own handwritten, chiseled in stone stories that I have written. So today we have a special, which you've heard these before, because as I said, when I do my special, I always pull these ones out from the vault. And so this, today we're going to be listening to, in no particular order, The Princess Who Pees, as well as The Billy Goat Called Bluff, and one of my favorites, The Tiny Giant. And once we're ready, I think we're going to be going.
Perfect timing, my alarm.
And Megan's alarm is going off. If any of you know what that means something's about to happen. Megan does alarms for, I think, basically the community. So if you ever need an alarm set, reach out to Megan. They'll set that alarm for you and take care of you. They know how to take care of us. They do that very well. So I think their first story today, which is going to say again, so if I get this wrong, you're going to know real quick, because a past me, time travel, is going to be one telling you about what story it is. But I believe it's going to be A Billy Goat Called Bluff. Let's see if this actually works. All right, guys, we're going to be back. And again, as always, parental guidance of this. I don't know if I recommend any of these stories for children, but any one of them could be for children. Just sometimes involves a little bit more of a discussion after. But let's get started on that. Over to you, Meg.
The Princess Who Pees by River Wild. Once upon a time, there was a little princess who was well beyond the age at which one would typically be potty trained. However, she didn't care and adamantly refused, believing that a true princess should not have the need to use the restroom at all. Besides, that's what royal nappies are for. But her royal parents were determined to potty train the little princess. And so the little princess traveled the world with her parents in search of a real princess that she could potty train with. While there appeared to be plenty of princesses, it did prove challenging determining their authenticity, and even more so determining if they were still potty training, or at the very least were comfortable using a restroom. There was always something about them that was not as it should be. And other times, one struggled to find the right moment to bring up such a sensitive issue. And so the royal family returned home. This unfortunate situation left the royal parents feeling disheartened, and they had so hoped to find a real princess that pees. And the little princess refused her potty training and kept right on using the nappies. One evening, a royal storm arrived, accompanied by thunder, lightning, and torrential rain. Suddenly, there was a knock at the castle gate, prompting the old king to answer it. To his surprise, he found a young princess standing outside. However, the rain and wind had thoroughly disheveled her appearance. Water dripped from her hair and clothing, even finding its way into her shoes. Despite her disheveled state, She claimed to be a real princess, and they let her in. Determined to verify her claims, the old queen devised a test. She removed all the bedding from the bed and placed a pea on the bed frame. She then layered 20 mattresses over the pea, followed by 20 elderdown beds on top of the mattresses. Further, she had all the bathroom doors locked up, all except their personal royal throne, and everyone went to bed. The visiting princess had no choice but to lay on this bed all the night through. In the morning, she was questioned about her sleep. She replied, "Oh, terrible! I could hardly sleep all night. I cannot fathom what was in the bed, but it was so uncomfortable that my entire body feels like it is black and blue. And to top it off, I couldn't find an unlocked restroom anywhere. Where is a dear princess to find relief? I must pee horribly." This response confirmed that she was indeed a real princess, as she could feel the presence of the pea beneath the layers of mattress and elderdown. Such sensitivity could only belong to a true princess, and as she so freely spoke of needing to pee, our little princess had finally found another princess to model, one that possessed the ability to not only use, but comfortably talk about using the restroom. And they quickly became the closest of friends. Consequently, our little princess stopped using a nappy and achieved mastery in potty training the very same day. And in fact, the two princesses, to this day, often accompany each other to the restroom, just as best friends can do. The pea, symbolizing this extraordinary event, was preserved and placed in a museum, where it can still be viewed today, assuming no one has eaten it. And so, that is the tale of a genuine princess who pees, and her remarkable journey to becoming a potty-trained queen.
All right. Well, as we said, we would find out really... Oh, that...
No, it's still going.
Is it? I just don't hear myself.
You're good.
But people can hear me. Well, I can't hear me. So tech that you guys don't even know is happening. And I'm like, where? I've lost my hearing. All right, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Turns out that was not Billy Goat Bluff.
Take those off.
But we're hoping that it will be Billy Goat Bluff in a minute. But I could hear it. All right. So I don't know if you're aware of how much this little radio station does in the sense of amazing, amazing stuff. But we have so many little awards, and they're not little awards. These are national awards that CICK continually wins. So our most recent winner, as I'm sure you've heard today, was, I believe, was it the Theron? Was it Theron that had just won the award?
Oh, sorry, I'm listening.
Oh, sorry. Theron, that's the one that
Therium.
Just...
Therium.
I knew I was going to say it wrong.
Did what?
They just won an award.
They didn't, but they did just
Syrup
play
Moose
a really
won
great
the
show.
Award. Syrup Moose won the award. So we have Syrup Moose, I Digress, River Reads, as well as, I can't
outside
remember...
In,
outside
Syrup
In.
Moose.
All those guys.
Lounge
These
Car
are,
Sessions.
And the Lounge Car Session. These are all national award-winning shows. Now, they all didn't win this year. They won over the years. But I don't think you... It's just like one of those things that this is a little mighty radio station. So in the 15 years that we've been here, we've really started to make our mark nationally. So while you maybe don't always know us locally... We're known around, starting to become known around the world for the little station that could, a little choo-choot. So what Meg's doing right now for us is we're trying to get past one of my poems that I wasn't planning on reading to you. It was called The Land of the Dead or something like that. It's one I wrote when I was 15. So we were just going to try to skip ahead on that one. And so that's why I just wanted to do a little ramble. Did you know that we also do live music at this station? Well, if you didn't, we do. And it's something, another one of our shows called The Lounge Car, that has also won, I believe, multiple awards at this point. I may be lying. That may be a lie, but I'm just going to pretend.
Confirmed.
Multiple award-winning show. And it is going to be happening today at 3:30. So that's after a lineup of award-winning,
boom.
And then boom. Final award, bam, for the day. So again, live music, come on down to the station, listen to that. That's at 3:30, hosted by our very own Maigon Bright Eye.
Maigon.
All right. Did we do it?
Yeah, I've got the Billy Goat.
You had one thing you were wanting to say.
Oh, yeah. So anybody that is listening right now, you could purchase your membership online. Remember I said smithersradio.com, find the membership tab, go in there. And if you purchase online, you can, there's a little spot where you can put in which show you want to kind of pledge yourself to or whatever. I don't really know what it's called, but you can select which show you'd like to get a little credit for getting you to be a member. So I highly suggest doing
all of them.
River Reads.
Oh, did you cut my mic? Am I still here?
You're on.
I just don't hear myself, but I'm seeing it moving. The sound is happening. I just don't hear it. I can't remember what I was going to say for that one. So let's just get going. Oh, there we go. Thank you. And sound back in my ear. All right, let's get going because clearly this ramble has just gone on a little more than we needed to. Oh, also, I don't know if you know because we didn't necessarily get to play it in the intro because I might have changed it, but maybe we did. Did you guys hear about the gender blender tail where I take a tail and I flip it around, take the genders, play around with them? So as you may notice in a lot of these, actually, most of these are gender neutral story. So I personally go by they, them pronouns, which means you can call me they, them, and it's a single person. And so these stories themselves are designed to do that for everybody. So anybody listening to these stories can imagine themselves, regardless of how they identify as their gender, and just get to imagine themselves as fairies, as a princess who pees, as a tiny giant. And the next one that is coming up, are you ready, Meg, is going to be, I think, the Billy Goat called Bluff. Little play on words there. So here we go. Let's do it.
The following is rated GGD, meaning it contains gross gore and or death. Sensitive viewers may want to tune back in just under 10 minutes.
A Billy Goat Called Bluff by River Wild. Once upon a time, there was a hidden green grassy field perched high on a mountain peak. Now, this was a very tasty, refreshing kind of green, if you know what I mean. And this mystical, mellow mountain meadow was protected by a bridge guarded by a grumpy old troll called Midge. One day, a youngish billy goat named Bluff did what he did every day and ventured out to make themselves fat on the farmer's hillside like all the other goats. Now, being a dreamer, our billy goat Bluff decided to dilly-dally, making himself arrive a bit too late, and found every grass and bush had all been but ate. "Out-trat," said Bluff, and his tummy rumbled and grumbled from hunger. "Nothing's left. I'm too late." Oh, but wait, for what a thrilling adventure was ahead. For Bluff, the billy goat, decided to tempt fate and making his way up the hillside, and for the first time in his life, walked out an open farm gate. He wandered along the new landscape, looking for just the right taste, and wandered further than Illy Billy Goat had gone before, until he found himself standing at a charming little bridge, over which lay the most luscious green grassy field Bluff had ever seen to date.
"Mercy," thought he, "what luck, and all for me."
Yet what Bluff didn't know was that lurking beneath was a troll standing guard at this bridge called Midge. With eyes so stunningly massive they could pass for flying saucers, and her nose, just as fierce, was pierced. She lived below the bridge, never moving an inch, yet ne'er did a soul pass to get over to the grass. Can you believe it? So here stood the tiniest billy goat Bluff, unaware where he stood, for he was to be the first in much time to approach this troll under the bridge. And on he did trot, and oh, how it went! Trip-trap, trip-trap! You could practically hear the troll's excitement building as she boomed, "Who's that tripping over my bridge?" Oh, the anticipation! But wait, It was only the tiny billy goat Bluff, and using his squeaky little voice to explain that he was on his way to the hillside to pack on some pounds. Oh, how adorable. The troll, seemingly disappointed, declared, "Now I'm coming to gobble you up!" Our poor billy goat Bluff was most frightened and almost did panic and pleaded, "Oh no, pray thee, don't eat me. I'm far too lean." Talk about a heart-wrenching plea, eh? But just hold your horses, folks, because little billy goat Bluff came upon an idea and trotted away to fill his pockets with rocks. Yes, he has pockets, all right? It's a fairy tale. Go with it. By adding weight to his step with rocks, he returned from hiding, ready to trick the troll into thinking he was a second bigger billy goat Bluff. And on the bridge he did put on quite the show with his trip-trap, trip-trap, trip-trap. And the troll, now fully reinvigorated, roared her familiar line, "Who's that tripping over my bridge?"
"Oh, good heavens, it is I, the second billy goat Bluff," said he, with a much bigger booming voice. He calmly explained that he too was heading to the hillside to gorge himself.
The troll, now impatient, menacingly muttered, "Now I'm coming to gobble you up."
Oh, the suspense.
But hold your breath, dear listeners. Here comes the piece de la resistance, for just when you think our little billy goat Bluff might die today, he quickly returned and hid in the dark of the woods, this time putting rocks into his top hat and tall knee-high leather boots. Yes, of course, he was wearing thigh-high leather boots and a top hat. Can we move on? And he returned to the bridge, pretending he was a third, even bigger, bad billy goat Bluff. And on the bridge, once again, he put on the grandest performance yet, trip-trap, 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 trip-trapping all about, till the troll screamed again from under her bridge, dreaming with anticipation. She bellowed, "Who's that tramping over my bridge?" Can you feel the tension building? In his most grandiose voice, he answered,
"But of course it's I, the biggest, boastful billy goat Bluff, just throwing my weight around to show you I'm tough."
He had this rather unappealing hoarse voice, but let's just focus on his grandiose threat.
"Now I'm coming to gobble you up."
The troll must have been trembling with fear, right? Oh, dear listeners, prepare yourselves for the most thrilling climax in literary history, for our little billy goat Bluff did want to make her tremble, stating he was, of course, equipped with two speared horns, and theatrically announced his intentions to gorge out the troll's eyeballs through her ears. How utterly charming, right? And as if that weren't enough, he also boasted at possessing two curling stones, which he planned to use
to mangle the troll into a million broken bones and pulverize her flesh to pieces.
Marvelous, am I right? Jeez. And sure enough, as you can imagine, his bluff ran true, as just the thought of a bully of a big billy goat Bluff that could leap on to the poor troll, mercilessly jabbing her eyes out with his horns and smashing her bones and flesh into oblivion, was all that was needed for this gentle, sweet, saucer-eyed troll named Midge to fall over, collapsing, cracking open her skull. She fell dead.
Phew! My Bluff made me triumphant,
thought billy goat Bluff, crawling beneath, rolling and kicking the troll's body over the edge, till she splashed, sinking into the watery depth beneath. What a sight to behold, I'm sure. Oh, to be a fly on the wall there, eh? I guess it'd be more of a bridge railing. Let's return. And there you have it, my fine friends. And with that, one billy goat bluff, who bluffed, waddled up the hillside into the green grassy field, stuffing himself with such gusto he wouldn't even have been able to stagger back home. So busy he was, he failed to notice that the bridge had disappeared behind him. And if you can believe it, he's trapped there still. All alone, he remains imprisoned to this day. In complete isolation, he endures, a victim of an eternal curse, it seems. Now, it may be hard for you to wrap your head around this fact, but you see, our dear dead troll Midge, yes, that creature, was in fact our hero here, you know? For you see, the dear troll dutifully protected us all pathetic beings from the dangers lurking in that god-forsaken hilly hellhole across the bridge. Can you even imagine? For ages ago, a wicked curse was placed upon that green grassy field, a curse which imprisoned any fool who dared venture into the mellow mountain meadow. So there you have it, my friends. Snip, snap, that's what it's all about. This tale is finally, mercifully, told out. And what a riveting tale it was.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, wasn't that a scary tale? I bet you didn't see that twist coming, hey? All right, so thank you, because again, you're listening to CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio, and I am your host, narrator, River Wild, coming to you with Megan Brady today from the Smithers Community Radio Station at the train car in downtown Smithers over by the museum and art gallery. So if you find yourself out and about today, we are here all day. Live in the station, come on down. We're giving tours. There's some popcorn that's been smelling like the magic that it is. And we are coming to one of our last stories. I do want to say this has been a pleasure. I haven't gotten to do a live show at least for a year. And my rambling always just gets extra special when I'm doing a live show because literally off script. So I don't even know what I say half the time. Probably blackout. And then I'm like, did I just say that? What did I say? But today has been a pleasure. Really enjoy being in the studio today. And of course, buy your membership, support local radio.
Come on down to the train car. We're doing open house.
As I was saying, Meg must have been blacking out because they also probably didn't hear me just say that. We got it. We're on it. We're covering our bases. The last and final story, we're going to sign off here. It's going to be coming up pretty quick here. I'm just checking my time because I'm trying to make us not go too much over, but also keep everything we can. So again, coming up right after me at 1 o'clock is going to be Deep Sounds, and it has been a true pleasure. If you haven't already, go to our website, get your membership, and help support local radio so you can get more of this. Just so you know, we are all volunteer, the people that are actually manning the mics, all volunteer run. So what you're helping support is keeping the electricity on and making sure that we have running water and all that exciting stuff. So it's vital. You guys are important to us. You mean a lot to us. It's been an amazing community, and let's do another 15 years. And I think with that, I think we can start our next one. I think we've done it. So let's see. This is our final story. One of my favorites, The Tiny Giant. All right, guys, enjoy.
The following is rated PGD, meaning it contains possible gore or death. It's pretty tame, but someone is killed. Sensitive viewers may want to tune back in a little over 3.5 minutes.
The Land of the Dead. Alone and afraid, lying in bed, thinking of the days I was dead. My heart skipped a beat, and a tear flew away. Away it soon vanished, leaving me here to stay. Alone and afraid, lying in my bed, thinking of the days I was dead. Suddenly, in the darkness, I see a small light, a green, green glow, causing me such a fright. Alone and afraid, lying in my bed.
Okay, so that was that poem I was talking to you about. This is me again, back on the air. I said nixnay on that. We don't need to hear that one again. We're right now just going to try to find that tiny giant. But, I mean, hey, that little story did work, right? I mean, it was a little poem. It's all about something about monsters and living the life, all that kind of stuff. But now, for real, here we go. Go.
The following is rated PGD, meaning it contains possible gore or death. It's pretty tame, but someone is killed. Sensitive viewers may want to tune back in.
The Tiny Giant by River Wild. This is a story of a giant who thought they were a tiny creature. Once upon a time, there was a small giant whose name was Gluppy. Named so, it's been said, because it rhymed with other smaller things like gluppies and puppies. And I guess their folks liked that kind of thing. Now, Gluppies was the tiniest giant in the world, but bigger than you think. Gluppy was confused. Gluppy was friendly and kind. Gluppy lived with other giants up the north, but Gluppy was confused. Gluppy felt like they did not fit in. Where other giants towered over trees and even some hills, Gluppy did not. Where other giants walking made the earth shake, Gluppy's feet only kicked up dust. Where other giants could crush boulders with their teeth and uproot trees with a flick of their finger, Gluppy could not. Where other giants could peel back house roofs and peek in to scare the smaller creatures living beneath, Gluppy could not. Which, in this case, Gluppy didn't mind, as they often avoided those scaring kind of games of that kind. Gluppy was just small. As Gluppy had never met any other tiny giants, Gluppy'd become convinced that being so small compared to the rest meant that Gluppy must in fact be a tiny creature, and not a giant at all. And because Gluppies preferred solitude, often hiding or avoiding socializing with the other meaner giants, no one was around to correct them. Gluppy was the youngest and often forgotten sibling of three enormous and mean giants called Lank, Taller, and Bigabeth. Now, Lank, Taller, and Bigabeth were known far and wide as the three meanest, most powerful, arrogant giants alive, and took no interest in their tiny sibling, Gluppy. They were so tall that they towered over trees and used hills for stools. For fun, they would throw boulders and flaming oak trees into the sky just to make you cry. And oh, did they make our poor Gluppy cry. Unlike Gluppy, who was tiny and kind and caring, Gluppy's older siblings were big and gruff and would spend their days whining and doing dreadful gianty things to the world and each other. In the rolling hills to the north, Gluppy's older siblings all lived together in the family's home. But Gluppy lived alone in a hollowed-out tree in the backyard, because they thought that's what tiny creatures must do. For chow time, the big giants ate all together at a huge wooden table and chairs, going nuts and biting and grabbing and yelling at such as they snatched at food, hating the idea of sharing. Poor Gluppy, being the tiniest of small, but bigger than you think, had always been told they're just too small to join them at all. So instead, Gluppy ate meals alone, hidden under the table, and ignored by the rest. To Gluppy, this was a delight, because they hated the fighting, and were happy eating the scraps their siblings carelessly dropped to the floor. For nighttime, the siblings slept together.
when not out peeking under roofs and such. But Gluppy slept alone in a big hole in a tree, because they thought that's what other tiny creatures did too. In the daytime, the bigger, mean siblings all played together with all the other giants, tossing rocks and boulders all day, with the hopes one might crush something or another. But Gluppy played alone in their shadow, because there were no other tiny creatures like them. For years, Gluppy had the most interesting life, living and playing in the shadows of the bigger giants. As Gluppy was so small, other giants happily went about their business without ever acknowledging our tiny friend in the shadows. But perhaps better ignored than straight-up bullied, the only other option the big giants offered up. But don't worry, as Gluppy took it all in stride and found joy in exploring the hidden world down below. One day, as Gluppy sat a safe distance in the shadows of the bigger giants, ill-tempered game of boulder dashing and smashing, something caught Gluppy's eye. Across the field, they noticed a strange little blue door nestled into the base of a tree. Strange? They'd never spotted it before. But now that they had, could not look away. Making sure to avoid being squished, Gluppy quickly skirted between the pounding feet of the bigger giants, unnoticed, and made their way closer to the strange little blue door. Bewildered, for as they approached, the door appeared to be shrinking with each step towards it. In fact, by the time they reached the door, that at first appeared to be about as tall as them, now was no taller than their shin. A closer inspection, Gluppy noticed this beautiful wood carving on the surface of the door, which encased a small window, through which Gluppy could see a subtle light glow. Gluppy wondered what tiny creature lived inside, and without thinking how they might fit into such a tiny door, grasped the small brass doorknob and pulled. In a flash, they found themselves standing in a vast chamber of brick and rock, and the door had vanished. A castle, perhaps? Or an old cathedral? The room was empty, except for a small round table that stood in the middle. And on the table was a small purple velvet bag. And it was moving. Gluppy curiously approached the bag and reached towards it. It stopped wiggling. Gluppy froze. What was in it? They wondered. Just then, Gluppy noticed the bag contained some embroidered writing on it that read,
"In this bag is small magic. For those who dream bigger, make mountains of giants."
What a strange message, Gluppy thought. Whatever could it mean? Nervously, Gluppy grasped the bag. It was warm to touch, and Gluppy could feel what felt like had some round-hearted, hard objects inside. Gemstones, perhaps? Riches? Carefully, Gluppy poured the contents into their hand, and out fell three plain-looking gray pebbles. Disappointed. But Gluppy still had the urge to keep them, and so quickly put the pebbles back into the bag and placed the bag deep into one of their hidden vest pockets. The minute they did, they found themselves once again sitting across the field, and the door was gone. A dream, maybe. They touched their pocket. Nope, the bag was still there, though lighter somehow. What exactly was in it again? Gluppy wondered. How curious. Strangely, come evening, all memories of the door and the bag stashed away in their pocket had mysteriously vanished from Gluppy's mind. How peculiar. Gluppy was confused. Gluppy was friendly. Gluppy was kind. Gluppy lived with the giants of the north, but Gluppy was confused. Gluppy felt like they did not fit in. Gluppy's the tiniest giant in the world, but bigger than you think. And because Gluppy had never met another small giant like them, As such, they had come to the conclusion that they were not a giant at all, but were in fact a tiny creature. Then, because Gluppy thought that's what other tiny creatures did, they joined a circus one day and left the giants up the north. Wouldn't you believe Guppy's luck? In a little village nearby, a circus of tiny creatures from the south had come to town. Gluppy, being a tiny creature themselves, was super stoked about it. I mean, can you blame them? Finally a chance to meet other tiny creatures like them. And yes, these little creatures were from a far-off land, living it up in a totally different world to the south, where all things are smaller and made for small creatures, and no giants about. Gluppy had to go. Now, the southern circus was managed by lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. And yet, compared to Gluppy, they were truly the tiniest creatures. Gluppy ate cotton candy, which made their cheeks sticky, and slept in a pile of sawdust, which tickled their nose and got between their toes. And Gluppy played with balloons, which often broke or floated away. Gluppy, unable to hide in the shadows of the other giants, quickly found themselves put to work, most useful, helping their new friends, all creatures as small, to do those things that required someone so tall. And as it turned out, Gluppy was the biggest creature in the circus by far. In fact, for the first time in their life, they were the biggest of them all. One day, Gluppy wandered into a tiny creature tent where Gluppy saw tiny creatures. "Hello there, tiny creatures," Gluppy said. "May I play with you?"
"What? You play with us?"
the tiny creatures squealed with laughter. "Why can't I play with you?" asked Gluppy. "You're a tiny creature, and I'm a tiny creature."
"You? A tiny creature? No, you're not,"
said the tiny creatures.
"You're a giant."
"I am," Gluppy said.
"Yes,"
shouted all the tiny creatures. "Yippee," Gluppy shouted. "Could it be?" Gluppy thought of all their hard work with the circus, remembering all those times their huge size accomplished things only a big creature could do, achieving certain feats beyond those most small creatures. Such of those moments when Gluppy carried hot cookie trays, one on each finger, making the chef's day. Or perhaps the ringmaster, as Gluppy alone could raise the tent poles, which was especially helpful for the small creatures called elephants to take a rest some days. And just like that, our dear Gluppy suddenly knew what they were, without a doubt, a small giant through and through. They had finally noticed that they were the biggest creature of them all. And in fact, Gluppy stood kinda tall. Finally, Gluppy knew what their purpose was, and with a heart full of love, kissed and embraced every creature, both tiny and small, and said goodbye, making sure to thank the ringmaster before ducking out the circus tent door. Gluppy ran all night, jumping fences and splashing through bogs. Until finally, at the break of dawn, Gluppy reached the hills of the north and the family's home. Still asleep in their rooms, Gluppy quickly woke their older siblings to their dismay. Now, it's important to note, not a single sibling, or any of the big giants for that matter, had been bothered to even notice that Gluppy was missing, let alone that they'd joined a circus for days in the south. And in fact, were just clueless. For big giants are selfish and mean, and couldn't be bothered to notice the unseen. Still sleepy and grumpy, Lank, Taller, and Bigabeth stumbled down the stairs. They stood glaring down at Gluppy, still trying to wake up.
"I am a giant," Gluppy exclaimed in their biggest, most boisterous voice.
The siblings stood there, staring. Laughing, they said,
"No offense, but you see you're so tiny and we're bigger. And whatever we achieve is just better. For anything you do just won't measure up."
Now Gleppy thought their heart would break. Maybe their siblings were right, and that Gleppy was too small to make things right. While Gleppy was away on those days south in the circus, Lank, Taller, and Bigabeth had somehow busy become even meaner. For you see, they decided they no longer wanted to share, and as such, had bullied all the bigger giants away without care. Till only Lank, Taller, and Bigabeth were left standing, the biggest and meanest of all the big giants. Which turns out was kind of boring, so they had plans to move further south in order to find these tiny creatures to bully and toss about. Wiping away tears, Gleppy returned to their tree in the backyard to ponder, and soon noticed all the big giants were no more, and only their siblings were the three giants living in the north anymore. Gleppy sat pondering in their hole. They overheard their siblings mumbling and grumbling about their horrible plan to go south in order to toss all the tiny creatures about. Gleppy was furious, but felt helpless. What could a tiny giant possibly do to help all their little friends in the south? At that moment, Gleppy felt something warm and wiggling in their pocket. It tickled. And suddenly, Gleppy remembered the strange blue door and tiny purple velvet bag deep in their pocket. Gleppy pulled it out and once again read the embroidered words, only this time they said it out loud. In this bag is small magic for those who dream bigger. Make mountains of giants. As they spoke the words, the bag became warmer and wigglier, until Gleppy could no longer hold it and dropped it to the floor. The gray pebbles spilt out. And then with them came a whisper, whispering, "With a heart of stone, may a mountain be formed." As Gleppy bent to pick them up, the pebbles started to roll. And each time Gleppy's fingers almost reached them, they would roll furthermore. In fact, they kept rolling across the whole floor, and right out that door. "Hey, stop!" shouted Gleppy, who followed them. Faster the pebbles did roll, and Gleppy found themselves chasing them up a hill. But as the pebbles rolled, they magically were getting bigger, until they were the size of large boulders, but still they kept rolling further. They rolled right past the family home, which sat empty, as the big giants were busy doing what other big giants do, throwing boulders and flaming oak trees, hoping someone would cry. But it appeared no one else was around to cry in the north, so the big giants were discussing heading down south to toss some tiny creatures about. The pebbles, now boulders, continued to roll on their way and finally came to rest, unnoticed, at the feet of each of the big giants. Now, because these giants are selfish and mean and couldn't be bothered to notice the unseen, no one had noticed Gleppy watching them from the shadows, or observed the three strange rolling boulders that now came to rest at each of their feet. The magic had started, and the whispers did grow.
"With a heart of stone, may a mountain be formed."
"Did you hear something?" asked Bigabeth to Taller and Lank. But they hadn't. For their hearts, like Bigabeth, was made of stone, and things had started to change. Lank, then Taller, followed by Bigabeth, soon became drowsy. So tired, in fact, they all needed to rest. But not liking to share even a nap, decided at best that each would walk in different directions to find that perfect place for that rest. Lank chose further north, near the Kispiaks, Skeena River. Taller went south and to the east to find the Balkly River. While Bigabeth decided to stay put and rest right where the Skeena and Balkly rivers met. All the while, the unseen boulders stayed right at their feet, From where Gluppy was hiding, they could see them all lie down and being lulled gently to sleep with the whispers, which had now been joined by a strange rhythmic beating of each of the giant's stone hearts. As the big giants lay down on their backs, snoring and tooting in their sleep, Gluppy was surprised when the big mean giant's bodies slowly hardened to stone and formed into huge mountain peaks. And there they still rest, as mountain peaks just like the rest. The valleys, now teeming with all the tiny creatures and beasts, because those mean, nasty giants have now gone to sleep. And some days, if you're lucky, you'll still find Gluppy, the tiniest giant in the world, but bigger than you think, happily enjoying themselves as they explore with their tiny creature friends all over these huge mountain peaks. And that is the story of the tiny giant who is bigger than you think.
As a special River Read show, we do not have a gender blender tale to reveal from another episode. However, within this episode, we have a few stories that involve blending of genders. Firstly, we have the original fairy tale by River Wild, titled The Tiny Giant, where the protagonist, Gluppy, uses they-them pronouns and whose gender is never revealed, because, truthfully, it's nobody's business. In another original parody by River Wild, a billy goat called Bluff, a twist is introduced to the classic tale of Three Billy Goats Gruff, by the Brothers Grimm. The classic male troll character is replaced by a sweet female troll called Midge, who sadly ends up dead. Lastly, we have the parody, titled The Princess Who Pees, which is a humorous take on the original tale of The Princess and the Pea. In this version, the prince protagonist who seeks a princess to marry is replaced by a little princess undergoing potty training, who is searching for another princess who pees. And that concludes this special River Read show, celebrating our one-year anniversary. Join us again to delve further into our series of gender blender stories, where we play with traditional gender stereotypes, reimagining classic fairy tales, where everyone is free to imagine themselves as fearless dragon slayers and enchanting fairies. Till then, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Let's do this again.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the radio station and any entities they represent. In addition, the stories and any possible twisted messages relayed do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the host, twisted as they are and despite what they might tell you, or the radio station, or their affiliates, or any entities they represent, and solely are those of the author, if even that, for that matter. Also, just now, I referring to the host being twisted, not the station being twisted, even if they happen to be so, and that's all I'm saying about that.
As a non-profit, we rely on sponsors like Smithers Brewing Company. Thank you, Smithers Brewing Company, for supporting local community radio.
This is CICK 93.9 FM Smithers Community Radio. You have been listening to River Reads, with host River Wild. For more River Reads, tune in weekly every Saturday at 10 a.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. See you then.